the next hour, we'll be speaking with senior editor of Maximum PC Mag, Gordon Ma Ung.
Geek Speaks podcast and website are brought to you by GNI, a full-featured web hosting facility that provides co-location services and high-bandwidth connectivity. More information about GNI is available at www.gnihosting.com.
It is Friday, October 14th, 2005, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. My name's Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KOSP. Today, after a spot of geek news, we're going to be speaking with Gordon Ma Ung, the senior editor of Maximum PC Magazine. And I welcome you to join the conversation via email only today. We're not taking phone calls because if you want to call in, of course, we're doing the pledge drive. I have asked my wife, and she's graciously agreed to come and join us today to help us sound less geeky and more, familia. Daria, hi. Thanks for coming in.
Hello. How are you this morning?
we'll pull the theme music out so that we can really thank the people that have called in.
We do want to thank some people. We would like to thank Jim from Atascadero, who is new to the KUSP family. He says that Amy is the main reason that he listens, and he really appreciates public radio. Julie calling in from Salinas, who just moved here. She is new to the KUSP family. She supported the public radio up in Chico, and she is so grateful for Democracy Now! Thank you, Julie. We would also like to thank Sharon from La Selva Beach, who is a continuing member of our family here at KUSP. She's supporting Democracy Now! And Carolyn from Santa Cruz, she is extremely grateful for her local public radio station.
Thanks, Daria. We are accepting your calls with the pledges and donations to KUSP. You're welcome to do so by calling 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877.
Well, let's talk about some of the shows that we listen to here on KUSP. This is what we bring you. Some of those shows are, we just listened to Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. We have Morning Edition, Weekend Edition, All Things Considered, Fresh Air with Terry Gross. We have jazz, blues, world classical, American roots music. We have Talk of the Bay, which is our public affairs program here. We have the California Report, California Bird Songs, Performing and Visual Arts Calendar, film reviews, book reviews, poetry, Life on the Bay, Life on the Planet, Life on the Farm, and, of course, Geek Speak.
And let's get to Geek Speak. You're welcome to call in while we're talking. You don't understand what we're talking about anyway, so please just give us a ring while we're talking so that you're not...
Pledge to a show you don't understand, please.
And those numbers are, again, 476-5900, 1-800-655-5877, or do it the geek way on the web at kusp.org.
You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Sean Cleveland, Senior PR Marketing Manager for NetCell, Miles Elam, Technical Trainer for Surf Control, and my wife, Daria Troxell, parent and theater practitioner. How's that?
Yeah.
Actor extraordinaire.
Oh, stop
we're,
it.
We're going to be talking with Gordon Ung from Maximum PC Magazine about all technical stuff. This is going to be a fun show. We're going to do a lot of talking about all the new nifties and great stuff out there in technology and a little bit about the history of the magazine. But first, let's do some geek news. I'm going to start with Miles because I haven't heard your beautiful voice enough today yet. Miles.
Good morning, Lyle.
Good morning.
Speaking of people not understanding our show, there was a report recently released, and it was covered on New York Times, of the number of engineers, mathematicians, scientists graduating from U.S. schools these days, and comparing them to other countries. For example, China had over 600,000 engineers graduate from higher education.
Sean, would you get that
engineering?
No.
Higher education. India had 350,000 engineers graduate last year. The U.S. had 70,000.
70,000.
70,000. So compared to China's over 600,000 and India's 350,000. In addition, in a thing comparing 21 countries 20 top countries in terms of their educational level, in terms of math, science, and engineering. The U.S. came in below the average.
Wow.
Of those 21 countries.
That's depressing. All right, thank you for that news.
So listen to Geek Speak more.
That's right. Get more technical. We need it. Sean.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. In Australia, a group of scientists have successfully duplicated the rubber used by fleas and bees.
Rubber?
It's called Resilin. What it is, this material is what allows bees to flap their wings 720,000 times an hour without getting tired. It's what allows fleas to jump. What they do is they flex their legs and store all this energy into this compound and then release it. If humans had this in their legs, we could jump over 100-story buildings. We could do a lot of stuff.
And crush our bones while we do it.
So this is it's kind of interesting. This material, if they can make it in large enough amounts, and looks like they can, it's just going to take some time, they're going to use it in spare parts, including spinal discs and artificial arteries, so that those materials wouldn't break down over time. It's kind of interesting. This is pretty much what gives insects frictionless movement. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, nice. Comparatively frictionless. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sean. Mr. Eel.
Yes. Of the audience out there is familiar with MySpace, the ones who are not familiar with MySpace. It's a community website where people will put in a personal profile, talk about music, various topics, put in pictures of themselves, of their family. Generally a bazaar, as it were.
Kind of like a personal web page, but the cool thing about this service, and there's other ones too, mm-hmm. is that
when it's similar to Friendster.
Yeah, you connect like together with other people, so you kind of see your friends' pages and your friends' friends' pages and so on.
Yeah, and you can have a personal diary or blog on there that people can link to.
And exactly. People meet each other that way. And
well, it's recently in the news because one of the members decided, you know, I want to have more friends. People on there will link to other people saying that they are their friend. He wanted more friends. He was going to do it. Not quite the old-fashioned way. He's going to do it a newfangled way, which was a snippet of JavaScript so that when the user went to his profile...
It automatically added him as a friend?
It would automatically add him as a friend. And this caused a little bit of problem because it kind of went out of control. And by the time MySpace actually shut down the site temporarily... He had over 1,000 friends and growing from there, and the site was getting bogged down by that.
Now, Miles, you have JavaScript. Why aren't you doing this? You know JavaScript. Maybe.
Well, I don't need friends that much.
Yeah, okay.
I've got you. That's all I can handle. but one thing that was brought up from a security standpoint was it's a good thing this guy only did it because he wanted to have more friends as opposed to someone who was being malicious. Because the same technology could have been used to make a botnet out of all the computers many of the computers that connect to MySpace, especially the ones that use Internet Explorer.
Right. He could have done a lot of devious actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you would have done.
No. Yes, because I'm such an evil engineer.
He wants to take over the world.
Sean.
So this new technology was unveiled at the Plastic Electronics Fair in Frankfurt this past week. Caused quite a sensation. It's a paper-thin TV screen that could be used in newspapers and magazines.
What?
Yep. And it looks as good as a television. Quality's not quite as good, but it's very close.
Now, and is it a paper? I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's paper. It's very thin.
Paper-thin. It's not paper.
Cheap.
You're right.
Cheap paper-thin TV screens. They said someday this technology could be used for Harry Potter-style dynamic pictures in newspapers.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
but we all know it'll end up in the check stand line by the tabloids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You'll be seeing moving pictures of all those things you could really care less about. So right now...
Yeah, is this one of those papers that doesn't have a really fast refresh rate? It's good.
No, actually, it's pretty good. That's why it caused a sensation. It does. It looks just like a TV. One square meter of this material costs about 30 pounds right now, but scientists are working on cheaper versions that could be available as soon as 2007.
Cool. So you got rubber and new TV plastics?
Cool. Paper, yeah.
Paper?
TV paper and the most incredible rubber in the world. What?
And with that, Miles, you're the last news story for the day.
Microsoft has released some critical patches for their operating systems recently, so all folks out there, go to Windows windowsupdate.microsoft.com, especially if you're running Windows 2000. Very important to do.
Because there's some vulnerabilities in Windows 2000.
Right. So actually, you know, all of the operating systems, like Windows 2000 is the ones were the most serious ones.
It sounds like we've done this before, this kind of make sure to update your Windows install, right?
What are you talking about, Boyle? Today's June 13th, 2003, right?
Or October 7th. I can't figure it out. It is October 14th, and on Geek Speak today, we have senior editor at Maximum PC Magazine, Gordon Ma Ung. Welcome to Geek Speak.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
No, it's great to be on the show.
I know you're a really busy man. We are going to take a break in a few minutes to do some requesting of money from our listeners, inviting them to participate. And if you'd like to do that now, so we don't disturb the show too much, 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877. But Gordon, thank you very much for joining. I know that you and Sean are really quite good friends. Sean, you used to work at Boot and then Maximum PC Magazine, and I'll let you start the conversation with Gordon. Sean?
Hey, Gordon. Good
hey.
To have you on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for those who don't know what Maximum PC is, it's pretty much a hard, cutting-edge enthusiast magazine. Talks about the latest technologies and gadgets in PC computers. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a muscle car magazine for computers, pretty much.
And what's really, really cool, it's cutting edge. So if you really want to keep up on the latest happenings in technology and you really want a third-party, you know, objective spin on that, it's a great magazine for that. Because having worked there, I know a lot of magazines, you know, the publisher comes in and says, hey, I got this ad writing on the line. It's going to cost, we're going to make a lot of money from it, so make sure you treat the product good, that sort of thing. That doesn't happen at Maximum PC.
Yes, we definitely get in. They're unhappy with us sometimes, but
the marketing department,
the salespeople. But what can they do?
Yeah, and that's what's really cool is they keep a clear line between advertising and the editors. So that's for me, I felt really good working there because of that. So to tell us a little about what's going on with the magazine these days. I haven't been there since 2001.
Oh, you mean kind of like, we just did a redesign, so it's looking a little prettier, a little more, you know, grown up.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you getting rid of the hot babes on the cover?
You know, actually, we just did one of those covers, and it's something we go back and forth on. There's a lot of controversy within the own staff as to whether we should do it or not.
But you sell more magazines that way?
You know, it's really interesting because, you know, we've actually done tests where we've put Hot Babes and Hot Hardware, and they actually both do equally well. So,
what about when you had Sean on the cover? Did that do well?
God. That actually was one of the all-time bestsellers.
Of course, nobody can recognize that it's me. Because I'm in overalls and grime and face, you know.
Yeah, but welding torches are hot.
That's what it was. It was all about the welding torch.
Yeah, they're very hot.
I'll never forget that when they took the picture, there was a union guy whose sole job was to turn the torch on and hand it to me, and then take it back from me. He was there all day through the shoot.
So the talent wouldn't burn his face off?
Yeah, you remember that. You remember that, Gordon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that flame was shooting out like, I don't know, 4 feet.
I guess they're lucky we didn't burn the place down.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, actually, I've been to the lab a few times, and it is kind of remarkable you don't burn yourself down all the time. Can you tell us a little about the next greatest, what's it called, the massively cool machine that you guys build out?
Oh, the Dream Machine.
The Dream Machine.
Oh, the Dream Machine, yeah. So every September we build the ultimate PC we can. This year we decided to build a machine that would reflect what computing will be like in 2007 to 2008. So we built a dual processor machine with two dual core processors, which pretty much means it has four CPUs in it. Which
you go with Intel or AMD?
We actually did AMD. We use Opteron processors, which are for workstations or servers. But 2007, that's probably what the average consumer machine will have, believe it or not.
Wow. And it also has dual everything, right? It's got dual video cards and dual hard drives. And
right. Dual. We use two NVIDIA 7800 video cards. We use five hard drives, actually. And running RAID 3 using a RAID card.
And the price of that computer?
$12,000.
Oh, my gosh. Is that how much computers going to cost in 2007?
Oh, it'll come down significantly.
Yeah, it'll probably be pretty affordable, I think. You know, I mean, the way they're going with multi-core technology, it'll be like a normal PC today. So.
Now, I'll get you an Opteron for $99.95.
Right. You know what else is really affordable? Public radio.
Yes,
it is. It is very affordable. Yeah. But before we ask for... Yes. We would like to thank a couple of people. Ben from Santa Cruz for his continued support. Listens to Democracy Now! Thinks it is fantastic. And also Dawn from Santa Cruz. Loves Democracy Now!, Geek Speak, Science Friday, Car Talk, NPR, PRI, and Johnny Simmons' Sense of Humor. Love that one. So thank you, Dawn, for your continued support of KUSP. We want you to think about the role that KUSP plays in your life. Do you listen to the news in the morning, in the evening? Do you listen to the station all day or just at night? For most of our 40,000 listeners, KUSP is a part of their life almost every day, like food and music and talk and family and friends. And we can't be a part of your life without your support. Over 50% of our income comes from listeners just like you. Without your support, we couldn't do that. We couldn't do what we do, and you would miss out on it, wouldn't you? You'd miss shows like Geek Speak if we didn't have your support.
So I don't know what I would do.
You don't? I don't.
Especially if right as a 10.
You'd probably, Sean, you'd probably work more.
Probably be a worker.
Better at your job, yeah.
And
right.
So for just like $10 a month, you can pledge to KUSP right now by calling 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877 or very easily go on to the web at kusp.org and give your pledge there. It's
and
very secure.
It's not just Geek Speak. It's more than 30 years of great music, including classical, world, blues, jazz, folk, funk, put together by people just like you, members of the community who have volunteered their time to share their knowledge and the love of their music with you. More than 30 years of local public affairs and a central link to the important issues affecting the Central Coast and beyond. And since 1984, we've been the station that's brought you NPR News. We've been happy to bring you great radio for more than 30 years, and it's all been possible because of your support. So please call 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877 or pledge at the web, kusp.org.
What can I say? We don't make money here. We donate our time to do this show, and we've been doing that for, I guess, five, six years now. We've been doing Geek Speak, and we love it. You know, it's just it's a great community of people. We get a lot of feedback from the people, and we just want to help keep this going. We donate to keep our own show running.
But KUSP in general is on the air and available by phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
$10 per month.
Yeah, and we cannot be here without you, the listeners, pledging your support to the station. And we're looking for new members, too, all the time. We would love to have new members to KUSP. There is a goal that the station has set for the drive, which is, I believe, 500 new members. And right now, we're at 32. So why don't you be one of those new 500 people? Give us a call, 476-5900, 1-800-655-5877. And again, do it the Geek Way on the web at kusp.org.
And if you're listening on podcasts, you can always call and donate, even weeks after the show's over.
When I finally get them up. Thank you. thanks for that. We are talking with Gordon Ma-Ung of Maximum PC Magazine. Gordon's kind of, if you think we're geeky, Gordon's kind of the expert of geeks on a lot of things. He sees tons of stuff go through his hands through the magazine, gets to see the newest and best gear all the time, including the Dream Machine we were just talking about that's the future of computing. So if you're interested in that, you're welcome to send us email. Go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us, and we'll ask whatever questions you may have of Gordon. But let's go ahead and start off with talking to you, Gordon, about the death of the Pentium 4.
Yeah, that's something that Intel doesn't really like to admit that they're doing, but the Pentium 4, which has been with us since around 2000, is going to be going away next year, and Intel will be completely changing direction and using a CPU mostly based on mobile technology that they developed. It's in the Centrino / Pentium M processors right now. So
now, what was it that made the Pentium 4 slower?
I think the you mean slower than
is that the issue? Is that it's not as fast as the mobile chip, or is it too hot?
I think the problem that Intel ran into is they had decided when they originally designed the Pentium 4 that they would take it all the way to 10 gigahertz. So
wow,
right? And they've been saying this for years and years. And Intel has been the master of fabrication. They've been able to pretty much hit any goal they've said they would be able to.
Because they have amazing numbers on selling, so they can fabricate and do put a lot of research into
it. They're going to hit a ceiling, though, right? There's no way they could cool a processor running much faster than the ones they have now.
That's the problem they ran into, is they thought they could get to 10 gigahertz by continually shrinking the process. But, you know, the last generation of P4s have just been running overly hot, and they haven't been able to crank up the clock speeds.
Darn physics got them again.
Well, what's wrong with having an aquarium full of cooling liquid flowing through your computer at all times?
Yeah, and I think that's really kind of what derailed the Pentium 4 train, is they just never thought they wouldn't be able to achieve their goals and solve it by shrinking the process as they have over and over.
So the next ren of processor you just mentioned them is like the dual cores, where they just said, well, we can just put two processors on the same chip because it's not going to be twice as, well, it might be twice as hot, but it's not going to be logarithms.
Actually, those dual core chips don't run as fast.
Yeah. So they clock them down intentionally because they run too hot at the full speed.
Because there's too much heat coming through.
But if you get software that's optimized for dual core, they don't need to run as fast because you've got twice the horsepower.
Right.
At least that's the theory, right?
Yeah. And the problem is getting, you know, software developers to convert games and applications to actually use dual and quad core. And, I mean, theoretically, you could have eight or more cores in a single CPU down the road.
Now, did.
But is that more than just changing the compiler? Do programmers actually have to, do for an individual application, make changes?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some developers, and they said, it's not just flipping a switch and recompiling. It's actually going in, rethinking how you write the code, and, you know, just dealing with all the threading, and it takes a total rewrite. And the people who have written for multi-threading, they are seeing huge, huge performance increases.
You know? Oh, really?
I mean, 100%. But
nice.
For people who, you know, aren't doing it, you're not getting anything. So that's
I tend to wonder also, the more complicated the programming is, the less software will be developed by the layman, if you will, or the in the garage programmer, and the more will be done by large corporations.
You know, I think actually for the it's the small guys who can actually, you know, spin on a dime and, you know, start, they can rewrite their application faster than huge companies. Like a lot of people assume that Adobe Photoshop is multi-threaded, and Adobe continually says Photoshop is multi-threaded, but it's really only, you know, a handful of filters that are multi-threaded.
The ones that people test on, they write those ones.
Well, the ones that Apple tests on.
Right. It's that's why it performs better on Apple.
Right.
How multi-threaded is Windows XP, and is Microsoft working on doing this better with Vista?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually some issues with XP right now. The fastest Intel P4 is a Pentium 4 Extreme Edition 840. Which has four cores. It has two physical cores, and then it has two hyper-threaded cores, so two sort of virtual cores. And for some reason, that CPU is slower in applications on XP than the Pentium, the processor without the hyper-threading.
Oh,
certain
no
applications.
Kidding.
Now, Dara, are you getting all this?
What?
So basically, when I talked to Intel about this, and our testing showed that, hey, the processor that's half the price of the P4 840 is
the dual core.
Actually, Pentium Extreme. They're no longer calling it Pentium 4, but it's Pentium Extreme Edition. It was faster, and they say, well, it's a problem with XP. We think that it can't. They weren't really designed to handle four, you know, CPU threads.
But they want you to buy these new chips anyway. So in the future, when they actually come out with something that supports it,
right,
you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat of a valid argument. You know, if you buy a dual core, and that's why we sort of are won over by dual core, is that if you buy a dual core processor now, in a lot of games you don't get anything right now, but in 2 years or 3 years when the games are, you know, multi-threaded, you will see a performance gain.
Right.
Whereas a single core processor, you're seeing the best you're ever going to see today. It won't actually get faster.
So I wanted to ask you about, everyone's coming out with a processor these days, and Creative Labs just announced their X-Fi audio processor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that in just a minute.
I definitely want to talk to you about that.
Okay, so coming up next, physics processors, audio processors, storage, external storage, excuse me, and what to look for in a new desktop and new notebook. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. You're listening to Geek Speak. If you have questions or comments, the numbers are, well, we're not doing numbers today because the numbers are reserved for people that want to donate, that want to donate to KOSP. So you can contact us with questions and comments via email. Just go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life, and I'm talking fast to get in shape for this week's program. You see, every week on our program, we bring you 3 to 4 stories on some theme, blah, 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 you know the drill. But this week, we throw that slow-paced, thoughtful nonsense to the wind and bring you 20, yes, 20 stories in 60 minutes. Frankly, we wanted to do 30 stories in 60 minutes, but at this point, we don't know if we can pull that off. I guarantee you at least 20. To see how many we speed through, listen this week.
Catch This American Life Sunday at 10 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks today are Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam, and my wife, Daria Troxell, is joining us to help us with asking for money and thanking you all for your donations, which you can keep doing while we're doing the show. The other people that are supporting the show, besides the geeks in the air room with me, Community Alliance of Family Farmers provided support for this program, buying fresh and local produce from farmers, markets, CSAs, retailers, and restaurants. Supports the local economy. Buy Fresh, Buy Local campaign at 761-8507 or online at caff.org. This program is supported by a grant from Cruise.io, providing local and nationwide internet service, including DSL 6.0, spam filters, and virus protection. Information about Cruise.io membership is available online by calling at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP, and you're welcome to ask us questions, ask the geeks questions via the internet. Go through email. Go to geekspeak.org. And we're speaking with, currently, Gordon Ma Ung, the Maxim PC magazine editor, senior editor. And let's go into what Sean just queued for.
Actually, before we leave processors, we do have an email from Lynn in Santa Cruz.
Ah.
Wants to know what the future of the Itanium processor is. Any idea?
The Itanic?
Yeah, it's not looking good. I mean, Intel spent, God knows, untold tens of millions of dollars developing this 64-bit architecture that would get them away from x86, and there's really no support for it. A lot of big OEMs are, you know, deciding not to use it. So it's, you know, Intel will continue to forge ahead with it because I think it's a saving face that they just can't kill it.
They're still used for clustering servers, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, for
in the enterprise space.
Yeah.
What they basically did is they released a 64-bit processor that's not backwards compatible.
Right.
And AMD released a 64-bit processor that was backwards compatible. And surprise, surprise, AMD won. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right, Gordon?
Yeah, pretty much. And it was sort of Intel's, the Itanium was sort of the same as Rambus, where Intel used to have an approach that they can make revolutionary changes to computers.
Mm-hmm.
And people really didn't want revolutionary changes, they only wanted evolutionary changes.
Right.
They bit off too much and they could chew.
And it's a shame because actually the processor would be much faster.
Yeah, I mean, the Itanium, for things that are written for it, you know, it is very fast. I mean, there are some supercomputer clusters that are, you know, the tops of the charts, but if no one's going to use it, then it's going to go nowhere.
Right.
All right, let's go to Creative Labs, which is founded, I think, in Scotts Valley and pot up by blah, blah, blah. In any case, Creative Labs has a new audio processor. What does it do?
It's called the X-Fi, and it's being used in 4 different sound cards, and it's basically 24 times more powerful than the previous generation, the Audigy 2ZS. And they claim that it's equivalent of about a 3.4 gigahertz general-purpose CPU.
Well, what does it do for you?
Well, what it does is it gives you much higher sound quality, and also if you play games, the 3D positional is far better than anything I've ever heard before.
Meaning that when you surround yourself with good speakers and in a surround sound environment, you can actually hear things the right directions.
Right, the right directions, and also things sound a little more realistic than they would on, say, just using your motherboards.
Or even with headphones, too. They'll change the audio frequencies so that it makes your brain think that it's behind you.
Right. And, you know, Creative, actually, they own probably 90% of the 3D sound IP these days, because they bought Aureal, they bought Sensora. So they basically, their stuff, I expect, will sound the best, and no one will be able to compete because they own the market.
Yeah, but also having this audio processor, it reduces the host CPU usage, right?
Right.
So your games will run faster in some
sense. Yeah, how's that claim? And they claim that it increases game performance by like 17%.
You know, it's actually kind of difficult to measure with today's games, especially the way they treat audio. But I can tell you, in some games versus host-based motherboard audio, the X-Fi didn't have the hitches. So I think there actually may be something to it.
Interesting. And you really put this car through the paces in the magazine.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I didn't think Creative would make another sound card. A lot of people think sound cards are dead.
Right. I mean, what more can you do, right?
Yeah, what can you do, and why do you need it when I have a 4 gigahertz or a 4 gigahertz dual processor or dual core processor. But the card is really pretty stunning. And a lot of the magic to, you know, 3D audio is all the algorithms that they own on how to filter the audio. So
right. So basically the lawyers are keeping them on top of the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also think of where can sound go? It could be, you know, a sound card dynamically generating what sounds like a live orchestra, like getting closer and closer to that model.
Right. Well, are they doing any MIDI support in this? I mean, is it?
There's still just MIDI support, but you know, Microsoft actually was pushing this concept called Direct Music,
uh-huh.
where it would create music on the fly. You know, so because right now in a game, when you're in a certain sequence, it's just it's a loop.
Right.
With Direct Music, you would have been able to dynamically change it depending on what was happening.
Would have been able to, meaning that it's not going anywhere?
Yeah, it went nowhere, and pretty much, from what I've heard, they've given up on it. So.
Well, it's kind of a complicated process trying to make music on the fly. All right,
yeah.
Let's go on to physics. Physics is a little more understandable than I think the music, to some degree. What's up with the new physics process, physics hack?
Yeah, it's really interesting that this company called Aegea is pushing a car that would accelerate physics when you knock over a barrel and it rolls down a hill. That's all right now that's all computed on your CPU. What they're proposing is a dedicated processor that could just, you know, calculate that barrel rolling down the hill, hitting a car, you know, moving the car, causing it to explode, and all that would be calculated on the car itself. And they're claiming, you know, huge differences between what you could do with a CPU today versus what you can do with their card.
Now, again, this would be a situation where the game developers would have to use a special
right.
compiler for that card.
That's going to be key to their success, and they actually do have quite a bit of developer support. The next version of Unreal will have it.
Well, a big thing we saw in the last run of games, if you will, with DirectX 9 support, is a lot of particle effects, where you see things kind of floating in the air, you see dirt being hicked around, and that all takes a lot of physics engine.
Pixel Shader 3.0.
Right.
So we could see that possibly being offloaded onto the card. Would it be possible for... like Windows to supply some of the OpenGL support that would write to the card so that the developer wouldn't need to know that the card's there?
I don't think they actually have, I don't think they have OpenGL support, and I don't think they have the support of Microsoft
yeah.
as far as, I mean, they have pretty much their own dedicated API, so they have to go around to developers and get them to support the card itself.
And speaking of support, Shelly, who supported us?
Is it that time?
It is that time.
Whoa. Okay. Where does our funding come from here at KUSP?
The listeners.
Well, as a matter of fact, it does. Over two-thirds of our funding comes from our community members just like you. 11% comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. 13% of our funds come from grants, and we get grants from the Community Foundation, Cultural Council of Santa Cruz County, the Monterey Peninsula Foundation, and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. If you are interested in our financial information, you can go online at guidestar.org for more info. And what does our money go for?
Well, first, as a point of reference, I mean, for most folks, radio is just the voices they hear or the music they hear from their car stereo or the radio that's sitting next to them or their Walkman as they're out jogging. And it's invisible to most people, but not to us in this air room. I mean, I'm speaking to you through a microphone, one of five in our studio. Each one costs...
One of which Sean just broke.
Each one costing about $400.
So please pledge, we need to replace that.
Right, the CDs that you hear playing the music, you know, cost money. Each one is a professional quality that costs $500 each, and there's three of them. And there's a turntable, because we still play records, and that costs $1,200. And there's a computer in front of myself and the other geeks and Lyle, and has pre-recorded announcements that are broadcast. And the whole system costs $12,000. An actual service that has infrastructure, that has outlay, that has...
Yes,
there's more than just that. KUSP co-sponsored over 40 events last year. You've probably heard our announcements, and we hope you attended some of those. We co-sponsored these events to give the community organizations valuable exposure. And just to give you an idea, KUSP donated over $25,000 worth of on-air promotion last year. So please, it's another part... It's another way that we are a part of the community, and you help us become that.
And for just $20 a month, which really isn't that much. I mean, I think about how much we spend on coffee on a daily basis.
You know, the $20 is a Netflix bill for us. I mean,
Netflix is $20 a month, and hey, we love that service, and we love KUSP. So for just $20 a month, you can pledge your support. It's very easy. You can call us up at 476-5900, 1-800-655-5877, or go online, secure pledge on the web, kusp.org, and you can just pledge your support. $20 a month. Very easy.
And do we have the phone numbers again? Just in case. 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877.
And it's quite easy. Just takes a couple minutes. We're asking right now for $20 per month from you. That's a $240 donation, and it can be done over a period of time if you'd like. It can be done monthly quite easily. And the ease is quite clear. You go up to a website, for example, click a button, fill out a quick form. You have to do it like 7 times a day anyway. At least I do. Quite simple. And, of course, we have wonderful volunteers answering the phones right now to take your calls. 476-5900. 1-800-655-5877. We currently have on a distinguished guest, Gordon Ma Ung from Maximum PC Magazine. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff because he seems to know a whole bunch of stuff. Kind of like the regular geeks. They all have their expertise. I want to talk now, Gordon, if you don't mind, about external storage. What's new and great in USB 2, FireWire, and network attached storage?
I think the big thing right now for consumers is consumer NAS units, which is network attached storage.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically hard drives, little clusters of hard drives that you hook up to your home network and let you save your files to it across the network. So, you know, most people now have, you know, 2 to 3 computers in their homes, and you all want to share files, and you also want to save your files to a place that'll be secure in case your machine, you know, crashes or something.
Right, so basically these devices, they work great when you have more than one machine, but
right.
they even work great when you don't have more than one machine. But we see a lot of this situation where the entire family is networked. They've got DSL, they've got a router.
Right.
So, Gordon, do you have any recommendations for consumers, you know, somebody who wants to attach something to a home network? And
well, I actually just looked at 4 units, and the one I like, which is a little bit overkill, but for our readers, it's what they'd want. It's an Infront Ready NAS unit, X6, and basically it says, it is a geeks kind of NAS unit.
Just so folks know, a NAS is network attached storage. It's a hard drive that you connect to your network that all the computers can then access.
And this Infrant, I mean, what kind of sizes are we talking about?
It's about the size of a toaster, basically. You can just sort of tuck it away in the side of the room, hook it up through a gigabit LAN, and you've got a lot of storage. And the nice thing about it, over some of the more consumer level ones, is you're running RAID, which is basically is always making a backup of.
And if one of the drives fails,
right.
You're okay.
Yeah, which is much better than having a NAS unit that doesn't have anything, because that.
Or even one of these units that you just go buy a single hard drive in an enclosure and hook
right.
up through USB or FireWire.
Right.
Those things aren't meant to be moved.
Well,
a lot of people put them in their bags.
Right.
Not a smart thing.
Yeah, I think that's a huge issue because people. Those drives tend to fail more than drives in your PC because you're bumping them around. People
right.
are moving them when they're on.
I constantly say when people say, what do I do with my home archiving kind of solution? I was like, well, get a USB drive and then get another one the same size because one of them is going to fail anyway. And if you're using it as your backup and you're accessing it, you're going to have a backup of that, if you will. So that's what a NAS solution solves is that the drives are actually redundant. The system itself has redundancy to it.
Right.
But they're pretty they're pretty pricey. I mean, what kind of costs are we talking about?
Well, the Infront unit is, you know, $1,300, but that's with a terabyte of storage.
Well,
so.
Terabyte. Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking like a lot of our audience is more on the low scale and want to get just a USB pen drive little thing, and those you don't have to worry about bouncing around.
But not if you've got video clips and photos. I mean, pretty soon your music, pretty soon your collection becomes kind of large. I think that's a lot of people. I don't think it's just the high geeks in the room. It's people that like to do videos.
True. But there's a huge number of people that all they're doing is keeping track of their finances and then keeping track of their documents and stuff like that.
And that's a smaller need, definitely.
Right.
All right.
But
we're
a huge group of people.
We're going to take a question from a listener. Dari, you got...
We do have a question from a listener.
Convenient, isn't it?
I know. It's awesome. And this is actually for you, Sean. Our listener, Felicia, wanted to know more information on the paper-thin TV screens. Where can she go to get more information on that?
You know what you might want to do? It's from Siemens. Norbert Aschenbrenner. He talked about the new screens at this Plastics Electronics Trade Fair in Frankfurt. So you might want to look up more information about that trade fair, or you might want to find out more from Siemens, S-I-E-M-E-N-S. Maybe Sean, they have information at their website.
Sean, would you be willing to link that story to our website today?
Sure.
Thank you very much for that. Okay, so that's a little bit more information. It is kind of cutting edge. We're not seeing this stuff in the consumer market yet. It's definitely in the...
Yeah, you're not going to see that until around 2007, but still, that's not bad. Yeah.
We're making that transition between science fact and science fiction and science fact. It was science fiction or fantasy, and
right.
Now it's moving into
it's
the realm
clear.
Of reality, but yeah. We're not quite there to everyone having it on their desktop yet.
All right, Gordon, this is something I get asked all the time, and I'm sure you do as well. If you weren't getting free computers all the time because of your position in the magazine, what kind of desktop would you go out and get with your own money? Keeping in mind that you just had a baby and you got to spend money on clothes and diapers and all that stuff.
I would, even the actual hard specs or...
No, where would you go? Like, seriously, like, starting out scratch, you got some money, you know you want a desktop computer, what would you do? Would you go to Dell or would you go to Gateway or would you build your own?
I would go to PriceWatch, look for parts and build my own.
Okay, that's good.
But, you know, for my family members, I tell them to go to Dell, because I don't want to be free tech support for them. So.
I know what that means.
Yeah.
So you're not an Apple guy at all?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Although they are making a switch to the Intel processors, and hopefully we'll get OS X on the
x86. So it will
right.
be a PC. Will it be covered in Maximum PC?
You know, that'll be interesting. I don't see why it wouldn't. I think a lot of us actually would love to try OS X. Except on real hardware.
So, Gordon, let's talk about the tech specs then on getting a desktop machine. You know, what would you get? What do you recommend for your mother or grandmother?
Mother or grandmother, I would probably buy just, you know, a basic, you know, integrated graphics Intel box from Dell for $400 to $500.
Okay.
If I were to build my own, I would build a dual core Athlon.
Like the Dream Machine.
Not quite, because I...
That's a dual processor, dual
bucks.
Core. Yeah.
Yeah, I would build just a single processor dual core with two
Now, how much memory do you recommend for... If you're gaming and you're using Adobe Photoshop, digital video type stuff, is a gig of memory enough, or is that not enough?
1 gig is like the standard minimum these days.
Wow.
And you're actually seeing games that run better with 2 gigs.
What about a notebook? I mean, I know you just recommended Dell for a desktop. Would you do the same for a notebook for a family member?
I think with notebooks, you have a better choice. You've got Toshiba, you've got Sony, you've got a lot of different companies that also make, you know, pretty nice notebooks. But I think it really comes down to what you're going to put in it. A lot of cheap notebooks have Pentium 4s in them, which are just too hot. For a notebook.
So don't get a Pentium 4 notebook.
No, I mean, not, you know, it's just too hot. It doesn't make any sense. It makes a lot more sense to do a Pentium M, or they also call it Centrino.
Centrino is a Pentium M?
Right. And okay. Then we're also seeing AMD's new Turion notebooks come out, and it'll be interesting to see how they do, because they are looking pretty good.
Centrino, Turion, where do they come up with these names?
I don't know. It seems like it's random sometimes.
It's like car names. They're sort of running out of options, so they really start stretching out there, you know?
Right.
The new car called the Tucson. It's like, what the heck is that?
Isn't that just a city?
I think the biggest thing is you have to find a name that we can trademark, because you got to be able to trademark it right away. So you got to think of a trademarkable name, and that, you know, limits it quite a bit.
Yeah, the 5 gigahertz Goomflat.
The Ziggle Pop.
So, Gordon, how fast would you recommend a processor? And on a notebook, would you say get 2 gigs?
You know, actually, with a Centrino-class processor, you're fine. I mean, if, you know, at 1.7, 1.6, you're actually doing pretty good.
The Centrino 1.7, 1.6.
Yeah, you're kind of hitting that really good price point and performance. Unless you're a gamer, you're going to need a little bit faster processor, more RAM, but you definitely should invest in a faster video card, which right now I just tested a notebook with the new NVIDIA GeForce Go 7800 GTX, which is
the latest
graphics chip out there.
And can you actually game on that?
Oh, yeah. It's faster than 6800 Ultra on the desktop.
So, wow. Which is pretty fast. You should be able to play pretty much any game on that notebook then.
Yeah, it's a full... The interesting thing about the 7800 Go is it is a full 24 pipe part, 24, you know, pixel shaders. Because a lot of times the graphics companies will call the graphics part the same name as the desktop part, but really the performance is about, you know, half. So
because they have to worry about battery the battery life and the thing's going to produce so much heat that it's going to burn your lap.
Right.
Gordon, I love having on guests that make me sit there with a dazed look on my face.
Yeah, his mouth is just open. He's kind of drooling.
What are they talking about?
And, of course, I'm drooling for the tech.
Sean knows everything he's talking about. It's like, I need one of those.
Well, the lesson is don't buy a Pentium 4 desktop-based notebook.
Because that's a good one.
They're, 10 pounds, and they will burn a hole in your lap. And, it's just your batteries will last about an hour if you're lucky.
Okay, let's advance to, let's say your kid is 12 years old and wants to play computer games, and you don't have a computer in the house. You recommend a desktop or a notebook?
I would still recommend a desktop because the kid will break a notebook.
Right.
It's nice to have the notebooks, but the kid's going to smash it. The desktops are still, as much as notebooks are getting cheaper, desktops can't be
a full desktop or, one of those shuttle boxes?
Yeah, I do like the shuttles. They're kind of having a problem now where you can't put really hot video cards in them. Because they overheat and it takes a lot of power, but they're pretty good alternatives.
Okay, cool. We got any other cool tech that you want to mention before we run out of time on GeekSpeak? What kind of technology are you looking for right now?
Right now the magazine's looking at ATI's new Crossfire card, which is supposed to compete with NVIDIA's SLI stuff, and it's kind of interesting.
Well, tell me what the SLI stuff is on NVIDIA.
SLI is using two video cards, which sounded crazy. In fact, I didn't think it would happen, but people are buying them in droves. And it's using two video cards to get, almost double the performance in some games.
Well, people were doing it years ago with the old Voodoo cards.
Right. And so...
And those engineers were picked up by NVIDIA,
right,
who's now reintroducing the same concept.
So why is that? I mean, is that kind of like a dual core in some way?
No. In fact, that's the reason why I didn't think it would happen because... as they continue to shrink the processes and be able to fit more in a chip, it makes more sense to build a video card with two cores in it, not to
make
people buy two physical cards, but people are going out and they're buying two $400 video cards and putting them into their systems.
So that the game works a little better? I mean, is it really substantially better?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a modern game and it actually supported, you are seeing...
And you're running at a high enough resolution, which means you have to have a very nice monitor.
And you got $800 burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
That seems like a lot of money to pushing pixels around the screen.
Well, that's why, it's interesting. When you look at a PC, it's all about politics because it's where are people spending their money? Intel doesn't like dual video cards because... They want people to spend money on CPUs.
Uh-huh.
NVIDIA wants people to spend money on more video cards. Creative wants people to spend more money on sound cards. And
could you see a really savvy Intel in the future, making their chipset, which runs a lot of the motherboards when you have an Intel in there, processor that is? Could you see them doing some crazy marketing scheme or crazy scheme of making dual core or dual graphics cards not work on their systems so that they don't have the competition?
No, because the thing is they have real competition with AMD and all the. In fact, Intel's been at a disadvantage because dual graphics cards have only been available on AMD systems. So now they have it, and there's a lot of speculation that Intel's next chipset, which they won't confirm, will run actually SLI or Crossfire.
Right, yeah. Right.
Then again, this all sounds crazy to us. At the same time, the game industry is now getting bigger than the movie industry.
Right,
right.
And so, you have people who are that big of an enthusiast.
Gordon, you probably see questions of your readership come to the magazine. The readership of Maximum PC Magazine, I would say, is a large part gamers, people that do a lot of computer gaming.
Right.
Because that's where you learn the information about the best and the greatest stuff. And most people don't need the greatest stuff. You really need it when you're pushing the graphics cards and pushing the machine. So what kind of listeners do you what kind of readership do you have? Are you talking mostly teenagers or 20s, 30s?
It's interesting. It's significantly older than we thought it would be because you read the magazine and some people go, wow, this is written for 18-year-olds. But really, a lot of our readers that I hear from are, they're older geeks. They're in their 30s and 40s. And, who else can buy an $800 CPU or spend $1,000 on video cards?
Some really spoiled teenagers.
Yeah, these are geeks that, it's just like, imagine when you were 18, but you actually had money, So. And it's a hobby more than anything. It's a lifestyle.
We're talking about hobbyists, people who really spend a lot of their time, having fun with their computer.
People who, bring back classic cars, for example, for their own enjoyment.
And it's also not all about gaming, because there are, a lot of people who just need fast computers. And there's also some people who just like fast computers. They don't even play games.
You mentioned fast cars. My computer actually has aircraft paint, which is even better. But a lot of the guys, I want to talk about that case modding. That is a big thing right now. People are actually putting a lot of money into, well, some are making their computer a lot quieter, but others are going for the bling because
right.
they're taking their computers to large LAN parties, and they're putting windows on the side and lights inside.
And it's very much like customizing your cars in the 50s.
It is. I mean, you're seeing this a lot in the magazine, right, Gordon?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's you know, it's so big now, you go to CompUSA and you can get modding parts.
Yeah.
So
what we're talking about is adding lights and frills and bells
and whistles. Geek version of the Honda Civic going down with, like, lowered rims.
Right. Yeah, I almost think it's a reaction to just, you know, computers are so generic now that you want something that is different. So these lit people stand out a little bit. So
the thing that I get is that you spend a lot of time modding your machine, and then your machine is outdated. I mean, it's you're just going to have to build another one and to mod it again.
So you might as well make it pretty?
You might as well make it pretty.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Gordon Ma Ung, the Maximum PC Magazine senior editor, joining us from the office up in San Francisco. And, Gordon, I really appreciate you being on on GeekSpeak today.
That's great being on.
GeekSpeak is proudly sponsored by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Felton offering color printing, design, computer rentals, delivered office supplies, shipping via FedEx, UPS, DHL, and more. Details at businesswithpleasure.com.
Only 1 in 10 of our listeners are members to KUSP. Here is your opportunity to invest in something that you find valuable in your life and in your community. For your pledge, in addition to some thank you gifts that we have, which Miles is going to talk about here in just a second, we are offering a free 1-year subscription to Utney Reader or Wine Spectator only to new members. So that's directed at you people out there who are new to KUSP. And any contribution level is greatly appreciated to the station.
Yeah.
So $1 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, you can keep going. I mean, we'll take it. 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877 or KUSP.org.
And KUSP's thank you gifts also include, for $10 a month, the KUSP logo cap. For $20 a month, the zip-hooded sweatshirt with the KUSP logo printed in grass green and white on Navy Hanes Ultimate Cotton. And for just $1 a day, the Hidden Kitchen, stories, recipes, and more from NPR's The Kitchen Sisters. These are gifts available to you as a thank you from KUSP for your support over the years, and we welcome new supporters to call in as well. Of
Absolutely.
Course, the phone numbers are
476-5900
or 1-800-655-5877.
You know, Dara, you mentioned 1 in 10 listeners, members. The numbers actually play out. There are over 4,000 members and almost 40,000 regular listeners who are not members.
Wow, that when you put it in that terms, that's pretty impressive.
KUSP members are by far our largest source of funding, contributing half of our total income. And they understand that public radio happens because they take the share of the responsibility for making it happen financially. They know we spend about $150,000 a year to buy national programs, but they know that good radio costs money. And please, you know that good radio costs money, and you got to help us keep going. Join these smart folks who have figured it out by joining now.
And I wonder about that 40,000 too. It's like, just wonder if, you know, 20,000 of them just pledged $5.
Yeah.
I mean, don't even think you have to go for the big dollar items. Just that little bit. As long as many people do it, it adds up.
So right. Please call 476-5900 or 1-800-655-5877.
And the website at KUSP.org.
The geeks this morning were Sean Cleveland, Miles Elam, and my wife Daria Troxell joining us. And our guest today, Gordon Ma Ung from Maximum PC Magazine, which is on bookshelves everywhere, magazine shelves everywhere. Maximum PC Magazine, if you want to take a look at it. Gordon, thank you very much for staying with us for the entire hour and answering so many great tech questions.
Thank you.
GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. This program is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts, as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. I've said many times thanks for being here and listening to GeekSpeak. I close the show every week because without you, we wouldn't be doing the show, and I do love to do the show. I really appreciate people listening, coming up to me and saying how much they enjoy the show, and it always excites me to hear that they listen to KUSP because, of course, many of you know that my father was the station manager here for years, and KUSP for me is a second family, And we welcome you to join that family. If you've never donated before, it's quite simple to do. 476-5900, 1-800-655-5877.
Or on the web at KUSP.org. And we would like to thank Jan for answering the phones for us today.
Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP Santa Cruz, KBH San Auto, on the web at KUSP.org. Coming up next is Open Road with, hey, Matt Pierce. He's here. And then Two Sips of Blues with Charlie Lang. For KUSP and Geek Speak, I'm Lyle Troxell.